Alzheimer's and dementia are certainly some of the worst words that a patient will ever hear. To have a very strong physical body, but to have lost your mind is a terrible thing. You have loved ones who have suffered with that. We have seen many people that used to sit in these pews who were no longer able to, capable of making the decision to even come because they didn't know what decision they were even making. I remember preaching at a church in Northeast Arkansas. And as one of the elders of that church told me, he said, I'm afraid my mother's losing her mind. I said, why do you think that? He says, because she can't ever find her car keys. I said, well, where are her car keys? Well, they're in her purse. I said, well, where's her purse? He said, she puts it in the freezer. She doesn't know. So I'm going to talk this morning not about Alzheimer's or dementia, but I am going to talk about the word remember and the word forget. And we're going to get to this passage in Luke 23:42 in just a few minutes. But I want to start by talking about some people that God remembered in biblical history. Like one of the greatest men who ever lived, Noah. And I'm reminded of how Noah was remembered by God in Genesis 8:1. This is post-flood. This is after what we read in Genesis 6:5-8, that the imaginations of the hearts of men were on evil continuously. And it even grieved God that he made man. So much that God told Noah, I want you to go out and build a water vessel, and he gave him all the dimensions. And he wanted all the people to get in there so that they might be saved. Unfortunately, only 8 people heed the warning of the flood waters that were to come and get into the safety of that water vessel. But it says post-flood, Genesis 8:1, God remembered Noah. He remembered him. As the wind came over and the waters began to subside, God remembered Noah. And you can read about that in Genesis 6:7-8, those 3 chapters. But God also remembered Abraham, the friend of God, the father of many nations, in whose seed all nations of the earth would be blessed, in Genesis 12:2. Upon the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, the Bible says in Genesis 19:29, God remembered Abraham. He remembered him because of his loyalty, because of his dedication, because of his faithfulness, because of his obedience. God remembered Abraham. Peter, the impetuous one. Peter remembered the words of Jesus in Matthew 26:75 and in Luke 22:61. They both say the same thing. And Peter remembered what Jesus said. The rooster will crow 3 times and it'll prove that you denied me 3 times. And you know what one of these readings says? And as a result of hearing that, when Peter remembered these words, that he went out and he wept bitterly. He was so sorry how you treated the Lord Jesus Christ. And he went out and with bitterness in his heart and in his soul, he wept. And it wasn't just a few tears. It was bitter weeping. And Peter remembered the words of Jesus. You know, we just finished the Lord's Supper. And I think it'd be safe to say this. If you can see the front of the table here, where we used to have emblems until the Munster took over for a little while, I've probably been in at least 500 different church buildings and tents, so forth and so on, and probably spoken in at least 300 of those. And I want to tell you this, inside this country and outside this country, I have yet to see a table that did not have those words inscribed. This do in what? Remembrance of me. That's the teaching of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Denver have already told us that. They already shared that good information with us. We already know what we have done. We have done as a memorial to him. And here's the thing we have to remember. We needed a weekly reminder. You know why? There are a lot of things that happen to us in 168 hours. We go here, we go there, we do this, we're responsible for this at the job place, and we've got these domestic responsibilities at home, and we're busy, and our minds are active. And so, boom, what do we need? We need to stop, pause, reflect, remember. We need this remembrance. We need this reminder of the Lord's Supper. And it's done on the first day of every week. There's something kind of tragic about being forgotten. I mean, let's flip the script here for just a minute. You ever been stranded at school? Now, here you are outside, and here you are with your backpack. You got all this stuff, and you're waiting for this. You're waiting for this parent or this guardian or this sibling to pick you up, and you're stranded at school. And you're just out there, and you're just waiting, biding your time. Or maybe your flight came in and you say, well, yeah, I know I'm supposed to have a ride here and I'm stranded here at the airport and waiting and waiting. Or maybe you've been stranded at church. I remember just some time back, you know, sometimes Tina and I drive separately. Sometimes I get up here an hour or so early and sometimes we drive separate. Sometimes I have a meetings before church and sometimes I drive separate. Where there was one Sunday night that we drove together, but I forgot it. I got home and I said, where's Tina? And a few minutes later, Matt and Kathy dropped her off, all right? She comes in and says, you forgot me. I did. I hadn't forgot it since. I hadn't forgot it since. And you know, Caden, he comes here, you know, real frequently during the summertime. And there have just been a bunch of times that we tried to leave him here, but we tried to forget him, but we couldn't. You know, he hits the ride with somebody and he got there. But there's something about being forgotten. It's a terrible feeling. I mean, really it is. Think about the disappointment you feel when somebody forgets your birthday. It's your birthday. It's the biggest day of the year for you. And it comes and it goes and it's like, hey, guess what? Hey, it's almost midnight and you forgot my birthday, all right? You all know when mine is, don't you? November 14th. But don't forget, you don't want to forget and an anniversary. You don't want to forget an anniversary. I have, you know, luckily that's one thing that I have not forgotten in this relationship. I know exactly when it is. And if I don't, then I'm reminded of it. So that you're disappointed. You're disappointed when somebody forgets those important days in your life. I've had people ask me this. Are you ready for this? Watch this. Did God forget during my cancer diagnosis? When I was in that little cubicle of a room and I was waiting for the doctor to come in and tell me whether it was malignant or benign, and I was there and I was by myself. I was in that room and the doctor came in and he says, oh, I'm sorry. But you have cancer. Did God forget? Did God forget when those floodwaters began to rise and you're looking around thinking it's going to get into the basement and it's going to crawl up there and it's going to ruin all of this stuff and the faucet just won't turn off and it just keeps raining? Did God forget when the floodwaters rose? This is the big one. Did God forget when that relationship went south and went sour? and things aren't good between my spouse, and things aren't good with my children, and things aren't good with my parents, and things aren't good with my boss, and things aren't good with my employees. Did God forget when those relationships just went, pew, blew apart? Did God forget when I lost my job? When they called me in and said, listen, things are not looking well in this company, and I hate to give you this pink slip, but we don't need your services anymore. Did God forget when I was going through unemployment? Did God forget when that child was taken abruptly from me? And I mean taken in the sense of I buried my child. My child didn't bury me. And that's outside the norm. Some of you have experienced that. Did God forget? And did God forget when that loved one died? We've been married for 73 years. And she goes. And he says, I'm left behind. Did God forget? I have a sermon that I do in a lot of my meetings. And here's the title. God, where were you when I needed you the most? And here's the truth of the matter. We flip the script and it's, what about when we forget God? That's what the writer Jeremiah talked about in chapter 3, verse 21. And that's what the Israelites did to God over and over and over again. And they said, oh Lord, we'll not forget you. And then a leader comes into power and he turns them against God. And then somebody else gets rid of that leader and another leader comes in and for a little while he turns them back to God. And they go, oh, we'll never forget you, God. And then we do. I want you to look with me at two scriptures out of the book of Psalms that talk about forgetting God. So take your Bibles to Psalm 106 and then we'll go back to Psalm 105. Psalm 106. Verse 21. They forgot God, their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt. They forgot God. Go back to 105.5. 105.5. Remember His marvelous works which He has done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. They forgot what He had done. Remember how great God is. And there's a psalm while we're this close that I want to call your attention to. It's Psalm 115. And it's powerful. And it's the great futility. If you have that superscription in your Bible, that's what that's called at the top of the heading there, a superscription. And this superscription, it talks about the futility of idols and the trustworthy nature of God. And I want to read this psalm because it helps us to remember the one true and living God. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give glory. Because of your mercy, because of your truth. Why should the Gentiles say, so where is their God? Our God is in heaven. Verse 3. He does whatever he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they don't speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Noses, but they do not smell. They have hands, but they do not handle. Feet they have, but they do not walk. Nor do they mutter through their throat. Those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them. O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear him, both small and great. May the Lord give you increase more and more, you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's. But the earth He has given to the children of men. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor any who go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. Remember God. Don't forget God. I don't know if there's a scripture that characterizes any more how Jesus felt on the cross than Matthew 27 and verse 46. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. Which being translated or interpreted as this. Watch this. By God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why did you forget me? Why did you forget me? I am your son. I am the savior of the earth. I'm the savior of the world. God, why did you turn your back on me? And you know what the answer to that is? God forgot Jesus so that he could remember us. So he could remember us. So that he could remember us. As he creates us in his own image after his likeness. That we could be his people forever and ever and ever. God remembered us because he forgot Jesus. How powerful is that? And now to the verse we start with. That's the one we're going to end with. If you will, let's close in Luke 23. Go ahead and take your Bibles there to Luke chapter 23, and we'll talk about this for a few minutes. Luke chapter 23. Start in 39. All right. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, if you are the Son of God, save yourself and us. All right, look at the first criminal here. The first criminal here is pouting on the cross. The first criminal here is deriding and chiding Jesus. You say you are a savior. You say you are a king. You say you're somebody special. If you are who you say you are, come on down from that cross. Save us and save yourself for God's sake. That's what he said. That's what he thought. That's what came out of his mouth. That was what was in his heart. But the other answered the one on that other side. He rebuked him. He chastised him. He said to him, do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? We indeed justly, we receive the due reward of our deeds. I mean, we're guilty. We've done things that are wrong. But this one guy said, this man has done nothing wrong. He's not worthy of this death. So he said to Jesus in verse 42, Lord, remember me. What are we talking about today? Remember. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. Remember me. Now I realize there are a lot of theological implications of this verse that people have mistakenly taken and said, oh, the thief on the cross, he was never baptized, and the thief on the cross, he wasn't all this stuff. And you know, all that's true. He wasn't. But you know what a lot of people don't understand is that Jesus and the two thieves lived under a different law, lived under a different age, different dispensation of time. And Jesus, he could do whatever he wanted to under that law and under that dispensation of time. He was Jesus. He was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And you know what I believe? I believe that Jesus did exactly that very thing. I believe he remembered him because the man was penitent, because the man was remorseful, because the man was sorry. And Jesus had the power to say, enter in. But lest we think that we can wait till the last second or the last minute, or if there's a deathbed confession, or if a person gets to the point where they can't be baptized, you know, all we can do is what the Bible tells us to do. See, we've already been told what our response should be. We learned in Bible class this morning. If you were here at 10 o'clock, we learned that we have to believe in Jesus as the Son of God. But in the context of John chapter 3 and the story of Nicodemus, not only did God so love the world that he gave, and not only are people to believe, but we learn in John 3:3 and John 3 verse 5 that a person needs to be born again. There has to be a regeneration. There has to be a spiritual new birth that takes place. There has to be a spiritual birthday. I know my spiritual birthday. It was the last Sunday in January. And I can tell you the year. But if I tell you the year, then you'll figure out just how young I am. So I'm not going to do that. I remember it. I remember the preacher. It was my dad. I remember the preacher saying on that Sunday night, saying, you know what, we're going to sing one more verse because there might just be one more person out there who needs to come to Jesus. And it was that preacher's son. It's a person you're looking at. Do you want God to remember you when you stand before the great white throne judgment, do you? Then friend, you need to remember his son and confess with your heart and with your lips, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and consummate that by being born again of water and the Spirit, a regeneration, a new birth. That can happen in your life even as we speak this morning. And it may be that at some time in your life you experience that new birth, but for whatever reason, the world has sucked you in and you sold out to the world. And you like those Israelites. We won't forget God. And you did. And we have. And sometimes we have to have a spiritual awakening. Wake up! Wake up! Someday I'm going to die. I want God to remember me and say to me, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of thy Lord. Chris, while we stand and sing.